What an amazing weekend, eh? From the ball, through the fun day, to baptisms on Sunday morning. Couldn't be better, could it? Oh, excellent. Well, let's just start with a short story here. There was a father walking along the beach with his young son. And the young son runs off like most little children do, and he's exploring the beach and dad's just walking on the top. When suddenly the little boy runs back to his dad and his tears streaming down his face. Daddy, daddy, come and see this, come and see this. So the dad goes over with the little boy and there's this dead seagull there on the floor. And the little boy says, look, daddy, it's a dead seagull. And the father, to reassure him, says, don't worry, son, the little seagull's died and he's gone to heaven. And the little boy says, but daddy, why did God throw him back? Anyway, welcome to church without the boring bits. What is church without the boring bits? Well, you know, the church isn't a building, the church isn't meetings, the church is a people. So I think you just need to turn to a few people and just tell them, you know, I sure am not one of the boring bits. So off you go. You know, you're not any of the boring bits here this morning, are you? You know, one of the things that I think, God is the God of miracles. All the miracles and all the glory belong to him. But there is one miracle, well, almost miracle, definitely not a miracle, sort of an unmiracle, that humankind has done. And that is, it's taken this exciting, amazing, awesome God and made him boring. You know, a lot of people think God is boring because of what man has done. So God's certainly not the boring bit in church without the boring bits. He is very definitely here. So what is it? Well, sometimes it's all the stuff that man has stuffed in there, all the way we do things, all the way. So what is church? What was it that God intended? We're going to start off just by looking at a film clip. It's a popular film. The DVD's not been long out. A couple of clips we're going to show this morning. If you've got very young children in this morning, you might want to distract them if they're very sensitive to some images, or particularly just at the beginning of this one. But here's a clip that's going to come from the DVD that was recently released, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Okay? Yeah, I think you can clap. You want church without the boring bits? There's the central message of every Christian church in the nations around the world. That by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who obviously the lion is representing, one of his titles was the Lion of Judah. Through his death, through his resurrection, we can be set free. That's worth another cheer. Jesus said, I am the gate and all who enter through me will be saved. You say, well, what does it mean to be saved? Well, you could talk to anybody in this room and they will tell you, I've been saved from depression. I've been saved from sickness. I've been saved from my marriage being falling apart. I've been saved from the enemy trying to destroy me. We have been saved through the victory of Jesus Christ. And we saw that demonstrated so clearly in the pool of water over there just now. As those people go down into the water, that's in the death of Jesus. And as they come back up, they're identifying with the resurrection. So if there was only the death of a Saviour, there would be no life to follow. It's not just about his death, but about the life that follows, that causes us, enables us to live this saved life. And yet Jesus was arrogant enough to say, I am the gate through which you may be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How arrogant. One man. Just one man saying, I am. He so irritated and annoyed the people that eventually they crucified him. Yeah? But was it just that? No. Far, far more. You see, for the people of his day, it was very clear that Jesus was not just being irritating to them. He was making very clear claims that I am meant was a title for God himself. He's saying, I'm God. They crucified him because he dared to say, I'm your God. Now, that's a very relevant thing for us to think about this morning. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the original book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, upon which the film is based. In one of his other books, he posed a question for people that is quite well known. And he said, right, well, let's take Jesus at face value then. Let's just think about him for a minute. Okay? We don't need to doubt that he existed. The evidence, the written evidence for the physical existence of a man called Jesus is overwhelming. Okay? I mean, if you believe in Julius Caesar, there's virtually nothing for him. If you've heard of him and think he's a historical character, there's more written evidence for the life and times of Jesus Christ than there is for somebody like Napoleon Bonaparte. Okay, so we know that he existed. There's the documents that we have giving the stories and of what Jesus said from witnesses and people that knew him firsthand. Again, it's overwhelming. So we know that what we have here is reliable. So at the very least, we need to think about it. You know, Jesus himself sat down with his disciples one day, and he said to, and there were rumors going all around the place about who is this guy? Who is he? And Jesus sat down with his disciples and he said to them, okay, you've told me what all the people are saying, but who do you say I am? And there's a question I want to pose with you this morning. Not C.S. Lewis's one, we'll come to that in a minute. Jesus's question, but who do you say I am? Because the very least we must do is consider. For many people, it just goes past in a blur. But God has you here this morning to consider. But who do you say I am? Peter replied, one of his disciples, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, you might not agree with that, but you need to consider, who do you say Jesus is? Because there's many answers coming out there in the world, but do they actually match up? Basically, you're down to two choices with Jesus. He claimed to be God. So, he either was God or he wasn't God. There isn't any other choices. He was either saying, I am God, and he was God, or he was saying, I am God, and he wasn't. And the trilemma, as C.S. Lewis calls it, that he posed was, what you're faced with is, if Jesus said, I am God, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me, he said. If he is God, if he is Lord, then what is your response to that? Because at the very least, you're going to have to make a response to someone who claims to be Lord. And if he's not Lord, what other options are left? Well, he was either downright lying, or he was a lunatic. There isn't another option available. He was either Lord, he was a liar, or he was a lunatic. Now, one of the popular things that's happening in the world at the moment would make Jesus out to be a liar. What's that? Well, watch this next film clip. But one thing we know about the film is, I don't know if you know much about the story, but one of the main assertions was that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, and therefore the whole of his teaching and everything he was on about was based on a lie. He wasn't God, he was married to Mary Magdalene, and that he had a child by her. And that's how the program develops. That is this great secret that's going to devastate all of humankind. At least they acknowledge that it's actually the other way around in that negative statement. Do you watch that? If this is revealed, it will devastate all of mankind, the very foundation of mankind, because the very foundation of mankind is a belief in Jesus Christ. Amen? So, was Jesus a liar like the film would make him out to be? If he's not Lord, then he must be one of two other options. Remember, a liar or a lunatic. But let us think about his life. Universally, it is acknowledged that his teaching and what he said was wonderful. In fact, you'll very often hear it say, yeah, he's a good teacher. And many of the things that he taught were great and have enabled the world to be transformed. Look at the abolition of slavery. Look at many of the noble things that have happened in society and in the world. And you'll find there's Christians behind it, inspired by Jesus himself. So, and yet, if you just take that, if you just say, yep, he was a good man. Good men don't go around saying, I'm God. Okay? Good men don't go around lying and deceiving. for Jesus Christ himself to stand up and say, I am the truth, and yet for everything he's teaching to be based on a liar, it's just preposterous. There is no credibility to that kind of argument, is there? So, a foundation of a liar, it's just not really there. So what about lunatic? Now, to stand on the ground that declared Jesus was a lunatic, Jesus Christ was a lunatic, there's very few people you'll find anywhere, yeah, he was a complete lunatic. Because they recognize that this is a man who's transformed the world. They may not have yet made their decision between the three, but you'll be hard pushed to find anybody. If you look at the religion of Islam, even in that, Jesus is held up as a great prophet at the least. But even that doesn't hold up because we're left with, Lord, was he deliberately lying? Or was he a lunatic? If he was lying, the man was evil. And could such an evil man, but with such a masquerading such a deception, have brought something so life-changing to millions? I don't think so.
That's right. Yes.
Could a lunatic have inspired millions of followers across the nations? Look at those first disciples. At the time of the crucifixion, like when we saw Aslan being dragged to the table, if you like, at the time of his crucifixion, his followers were scattered. They were terrified, they were frightened, there'd be the same kind of persecution come on them. And yet, a few weeks later, we find Peter able to stand up in front of a crowd and talk about the man whom you've crucified. Jesus Christ. The disciples and the lives of many others were radically transformed. Lives are not transformed by lunatics. Lives are not transformed by liars. Liars and lunatics do not spread something that stands the test of 2,000 years of time. So really, if we look at the story of Jesus Christ, he either was God or he wasn't God. If he wasn't God, he was either lying or he was a lunatic, and neither of those stand up. So we're only left with the fact that Jesus said, I am God, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no other way to the Father except through me. I am the gate by which, through which all men must be saved. That's all that's left. And so that question of Jesus, who do you say I am, this morning, I offer that to all of you. Who do you say Jesus is? If Jesus is standing in front of you now saying, who do you say I am? What is your response? Do you believe him to be a Lord or the Lord? Do you believe him to be a liar or do you believe him to be a lunatic? Because they're your only options.
That's right. Yeah.
And if he is your Lord or if he is the Lord, there must come a response. He said, I am the gate. I've said it 3 or 4 times, through which all men must be saved. So what does it mean? If you're asking the question, what must we do to be saved? You're identifying with millions of people throughout history who have reached the point of, well, what must I do? And on the very first occasion when that question was asked, what must we do? What must I do to be saved? That was the time that Peter stood up in front of the crowd and said, what you need to do? You need to believe in Jesus. You need to repent. That means to turn away from the way you're going and make him your Lord. Turn away from the things you know they're wrong in your life. You just try to believe they're not because you're just following everybody else. But everybody knows what's wrong. It's in there. We know it. It's to turn from that and follow him. To repent, Peter said, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and it's for all your family, was what Peter said. And that is the answer for you this morning as you're sitting there. Do you believe that Jesus was a liar, as the Da Vinci Code book and film would portray? Do you believe he was a lunatic? Or even this morning, is there a realization coming upon you? Yes, he is the Lord. He is God. And if that's so, there needs to be a response in you this morning. Maybe you've been like the little boy's seagull. You thought that if you dared approach God, he'd throw you back because you know that your life wouldn't be acceptable to him. Or maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you've come along this morning, you haven't been for a while, and you feel like you could be a bit of the seagull in you. You know, you knew God, you've blown it, dare you come back to him, or will he just chuck you out? He won't throw you out. Why would his son, why would he put his son through the death and the suffering that we saw a tiniest glimpse of in that fantasy? Why would he put his son through all of that and then reject you? It'd be like saying to his, it'd be like the death of Jesus was a waste of time. It's not about you, it's about him. And that's always the good news. That's why it's repent. That's why it's turn to Jesus. It's because of his death we come, not because of what we've done, not because of who we are. This is the good news. This is church without the boring bits, that you can be at peace with God this morning. Amen? Amen. Because of what he has done for you. So there needs to be a response. Because it's not just a... Yeah, that's good, I like that. And then you walk out. That's had no more effects on you than watching a blockbuster movie. This is something that transforms lives and can transform your life this morning. As I said earlier, save you from, save your family from destruction, save your marriage from divorce, save you from debt, save you from sickness, but most of all, save you from going ahead in your own life to have a life with him in his kingdom, here and now. An assurance that not only have you a life here in him in now, but when you die, you will not be thrown back like the seagull, but you have a life and a place with him eternally. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. So we're going to give a chance for you to respond to Jesus as Lord. And there'll be two groups of people here this morning who want to make that response. Yes, Jesus is my Lord. Who do you say I am? You are my Lord. Not just the Lord, but my Lord. Two groups of people. Some of you have never ever made that acknowledgement. Some of you may have thought about it. Some of you may have pondered it. Some of you may have wondered about it. But this morning you're going to respond to that and say, yes, I'm going to make you my Lord. Repent and go his way. He is the way. The others amongst you, there are some here this morning, you've come back to church. And this morning is not just a come back to church, it's a come back to Jesus. This morning you're going to say, yeah, I knew Jesus, but I've been wandering off in my own direction. I've been doing my own thing. And this morning, I know he's not a liar. I know he's not a lunatic. I'm going to respond to you as my Lord and make you Lord of my life again, which means doing what he says. That's the basic requirement of a Lord, a master. You do what he says. So, can we have a musician up? I think we will have a keyboard musician. He's over there, isn't he? Can we have a keyboard musician up? Thank you. God's just moving across this room, and as he moves across this room by his Holy Spirit, some of you, that conviction now is just coming on you. I'm going to respond to Jesus as my Lord. You can be a little more jolly than that if you like. This is a good thing. Okay, you can be even more jolly than that if you like. You're getting there. He's warming up. I'll just hang on a minute. Yeah, a bit more. Okay, this is a good thing.
Come on.
Yeah, when you come forward, it's you'll receive forgiveness for your sins. Not that you're going to be living in them. Not that you're going to be chucked out like the poor old seagull. Okay, it's a good thing. It's even happier than that, I reckon, Chad. Even a little bit more. Okay, if you're going to respond to Jesus as your Lord this morning, okay, what I want you to do very simply is while the jolly music is playing, I want you to make that response to him. Loads of people are watching. But this is the day of a church that rises up and says, look, this is brilliant. This is awesome. You need to know this. Let's all stand up. Oh, hallelujah. And in a minute, you're going to start cheering and praising God, just like you were then. Because this is awesome, this is brilliant. But this is the time of the church standing up. So as you're making Jesus Christ your Lord this morning, whether that's for the first time or because you're coming back to him this morning, then you can come forward joyfully, because God's going to place a boldness within you to make his name known. It's a boldness, and you're just going to be so different. What's the old-fashioned message? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's for you this morning. Okay, if you're going to make Jesus Christ as your Lord, while the people are cheering and clapping, whilst the jolly music is playing, I want you to come and stand down at the front. That's the challenge to you this morning, to make Jesus your Lord. A response to him is to come and stand down here so that we can make that repent and be baptized. Let's cheer, everybody. Let's play the jolly music. And you come forward if that's you. It's a bit of a challenge. If you're making Jesus your Lord, that's what needs to happen in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Just come down this side where the camera is. Hallelujah. Let's have the rest of the musicians up. They've stopped clapping. We know there are people here that want to make Jesus their Lord. And it's a happy experience, but also it's a very challenging one. Because it is a life change. We're talking about something completely different happening in you. And we don't want you to miss that opportunity that Jesus himself offers you this morning. And you could take it away and you could ponder it. And some of you will do that who are here this morning. But for some of you, this is the morning to make a response. Over on this side, we've got my good friends here. It's Pastor Jonathan here. You can't quite see him from the back because he's a bit shorter than me. We have another Pastor Jonathan here, just to make it really easy for you to remember. And we have Pastor Helena here. They're going to go over to this side here, so that as we finish our service this morning with a song in a minute, we're still going to give you that opportunity to respond. Yes, people are watching, but more importantly, it's what's in your heart, and the fact that God is saying, yeah, yeah. You can bring a friend with you, because we're not called to do this alone, we're called to do this together. So I don't think you've got to do it all on your own. You haven't. Not only will your friend or your mum or your dad come with you, but the whole church will be with you. Because this is church without the boring bits. There's no boring bits here. This is a people full of the life of Jesus. Amen. So if Jonathan and the Jonathans and Helena, if you go sort of over that side, just to greet anybody that comes forward. And we'll finish with a song. And come forward during the song. And meet these three people here, and they'll talk to you more about what it means to make Jesus your Lord. Let's go, team.